Bibles, turn with me to the first book of Samuel. I may be just a little nervous until I get used to this new technology. It'll be okay though. Amen?
Amen. Yes, it will.
I'm a family, right? 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to be reading a few verses, so if you'll bear with me. You don't have to stand, because I'm going to be reading 1 through 20. 30. Chapter 30, verse 1 says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at the town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Verse 5 says, David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. They began to talk of stoning him, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men set out. They came to the brook Bezor, but 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Verse 11, along the way they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David, and they gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him a part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, a coffee from Seven Brew, no, or Stephen. For he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights before long his strength returned. Verse 11 or 13 says, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? David asked him. I'm an Egyptian, a slave of an Amalekite. He replied, my master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kerethites in the Negev and the territory of Judah in the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me to this band of raiders? David asked. The young man replied, if you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them. Verse 16, we only got four more. Everybody says, thank goodness. So he led David to them and found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. David and this man and his men rushed in among the slaughter and slaughtered them throughout the night, the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except for 400 men who fled on camels. David said in verse 18, David got back everything that the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken from him. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks, herds, and his men drove them all ahead of the other livestock. This plunder belongs to David, they said. Will you bow heads with me? Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, thank you, Father, for the privilege to be in your house, Lord, with your people, Father. Thank you for this service, God. Thank you for the moving and the worship, Lord, Father. We feel your presence here tonight, Lord. We just ask right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know your word's anointed, but God, I just ask for your anointing. Lord, help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart. Lord, open up our ears, our minds. Help us to receive it, and God, we'll always give you the praise and glory. In your name we say, amen, amen. And amen. So, be honest with me tonight. And remember, we're in church, so you have to be honest, right? I hope so, right? I didn't get the kind of response I thought. I thought everybody'd be like, yes, we're in church, we're going to be honest. How many of you wish that you, when you became a Christian, that all the bad days would disappear? Yeah. Many of you got saved, amen?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And who would sign up for that? Right. Nobody enjoys valleys, right? We love the mountaintops. The view from the mountaintops are awesome. We'd much rather be on the mountaintops of the peaks, and the snow-covered peaks, looking over into the valleys. The view from the valleys is not so good, amen, church? We'd much rather be on the top. And we'd much rather be on the top, looking down, than in the valley, looking up. And just because we come to faith in Christ doesn't mean we get to drive through life through a convertible.
Right.
The hair, with the top down and our hair blowing in the wind, wouldn't that be great? For the time Sister Cindy have a convertible. That would be awesome. And I told you the kids put something in here. I'm not going to read that. It means something. It means some days you're pulled over. What it really means, you know, if we had life as a convertible and we could just cruise down the road, it'd be awesome. But most of the time, we're pulled over on the side of the road with a flat tire and there's smoke coming out of our engine, right? And we're driving a Prius, not a convertible. Or maybe a Ford. Sorry if you drive a Ford. I honestly don't care about vehicle makes as long as it's a Jeep. We all face moments in our life when it comes, it seems like it can't get any worse, and then it does get worse. Amen? And David faced those times as well. From the moment David was anointed king by prophet Samuel, his life was in danger. If you look back, it wasn't very long from the time the prophet Samuel anointed him that his life became in danger. First of all, Goliath stepped on the scene. He had to slay a giant. And then it wasn't before long, he killed the giant, and he got promoted to the palace, right? And the prophet had prophesied and anointed him that he would one day be king, and pretty soon David was at the place where he needed to be. But he wasn't quite there, and it wasn't long before Saul became jealous, and he began to try to kill David, and David had to flee for his own life, and he had to go to outside of the palace and out to the countryside, and he had to go on the run. And he eventually would gather a following of about 600 men when he was on the run from Saul. Saul kept trying to find him for several years, trying to kill him. But these men kept coming to David because David had favor. David had an anointing on his life.
Right.
And like Sister Kelly preached last week, you got to guard that anointing. And when you have an anointing on your life, the enemy doesn't like it. And he's going to do whatever he can to take that anointing away and cause you to flee if you have to. So David had to flee the kingdom. He had to eventually end up on the outskirts of the kingdom of Israel in a town called Ziklag.
Right.
By this time, even David had been on the run from Saul for several years. And he was gaining victory after victory, though, because of the favor on his life. In fact, even other countries and kings loved David, and the Philistine king actually invited David over to come and be with him because he just loved who David was and David's men. But it came a time when the Philistines were fixing to go out to war with the Israelites, and the Philistine commanders, if you read your word, the Bible says that they didn't like David being in there because he was a Jew and he was an Israelite. So they complained to the king, and even though the king loved David, he told David, you need to go home. So David made his way home, and this is where our story begins, where David and his men returned to Ziklag where they lived. But David's 600 men, they were a force to be reckoned with. The Amalekites knew this, and they wouldn't just attack David straight up because they knew they would lose.
Right.
They knew that these were 600 men, these were an army. David had all his favor upon him, and they knew not just to come and fight David. But notice what they did. They exposed one of the weaknesses in David and his armies. They came after his family. And their families, amen?
Yeah.
The enemy knew that if he could scatter, divide, and capture the wives and children, he could expose their weakness.
Right.
Remember, David and his men were not just a ragtag army. This wasn't just a bunch of rejects.
Right.
If you read your Bible, it says that these were mighty men. These guys were warriors. There's no sissies in his army. Just listen to what a few of them did. Shammah, son of Agi, stood in a lintel or pea patch by himself after the Israelite army fled and defeated the Philistines. This man stood there all along while the Israelites fled in a bean patch or a pea patch and fought off the Philistines. Mm-hmm. This was one of the men he was one of the three, I believe. He was one of the 30, if you read the word. It was mighty men of David.
You're right.
Another one was named Benaniah, if I said that right. And he chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day and killed it. Mm-hmm. How many of you would do that? How many of you would even be close to a lion? You'd be crazy. Three of his top men stuck behind enemy lines just to draw water from a certain well in Bethlehem because David had a craving for it. David, one day that Bethlehem was guarded by the Philistines, they had invaded and taken over, and that's where David was from. That was his hometown, and he remembered how good that water tasted down at the general store. He needed to have a drink from it. You know, there's nothing like a hometown food joint or somewhere. You know, you guys know what it is.
Yeah.
You can get a craving for it, and that's what David did. He said, man, I'd love to have something to drink from that well. Pretty soon he knew it. His three men snuck out behind the enemy line and went and grabbed him a drink.
Yeah.
These weren't just wimpy soldiers. They were brave, valiant. They were special forces, you could say.
Yes, sir.
Yet when they came home and found their homes destroyed by fire and their families gone, it didn't take long for there to be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, these aren't sissies. These are warriors. But when their family was gone, when their home was burned, pretty soon chaos began to take place.
Right.
They were ready to stone David, the man that they came to, the man that they flocked to become a part of his army. Now they were ready to kill him. They were ready to blame him because they were hurt in church. The enemy loves to sneak in and grab our families. Amen? He loves to come after our sons and daughters. He always goes after the seed. Even from the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and the prophecy was announced, the curse upon man and upon woman, The first prophecy was foretold that the offspring of Eve would crush the serpent's head. Uh-huh. And since that time, Satan had been after the seed. He loves to come in and kidnap our children, even if they've been raised in church all their lives. The devil loves to split families. I don't know about you. I can handle a lot of things on my plate but mess with my family and I go crazy.
Yeah.
I personally can handle a lot of stuff. I can take a lot of stuff, but you mess with my kids or my wife and I begin to break down and go crazy. Kind of like you poke the bear and you see what happens. Amen? I can endure a lot personally. I said that, but mess with my kids and I become a mess. David was right smack in the middle of a battle in a storm he didn't even anticipate he was going to be in. He thought he was just coming back home. And here he comes back home and everything's gone. His family, his wife, his kids. I believe he had a couple kids by that time. Everything was gone, not to mention all his army's family and was gone. And he had to deal with that. He was hurting personally as a leader, and then he had to deal with other men's hurts as well. And the situation was escalating quickly. And David had to make a decision. And tonight, I would title this message, Fight or Flight. And this was the point. David had to fight or flight. What was he going to do? He could choose to stand firm and seek the Lord, or he could run and hide and quite possibly be stoned to death. You know, it's easy to read the story and understand what happened and know the outcome. But what would we do in that situation?
Right.
What would we do when our family's gone? And everything's burnt down, and then we got men that are really to blame us, wanting to blame us and stone us. How many of us would run and hide or hit the road and try to get away from it all? But David did something amazing. He stood there and he encouraged himself in the Lord, and I'll get back to that in a minute. The enemy wants us to get to this situation. Right. He wants us to get to this point where it's either fight or flight. Mm-hmm. He wants to bombard us so much that we get to this point that we have to make a decision. We'll either run and give up, or we're going to stand like Pastor preached this morning, and we're going to stand for the Lord, and we're going to stay. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to leave. You see, church, the devil doesn't play fair. I heard a preacher this week. I was listening to a podcast. He said, Satan is a street fighter. He will throw dirt in your eyes, and he doesn't care. Right. And he'll laugh at you as he does it. He doesn't play fair, church.
Right.
He's not in the fair game. He'll play dirty, and he'll do whatever he can to destroy you and your family.
Yes.
John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
But the latter part says, my purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. Man, I didn't realize how much I spit. I'm spitting all over the screen. I can barely read it. I need a windshield wiper or something. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have a family, you are target uno number one. Amen? Let me say that again. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have a family, you are number one target for the enemy.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like you. Hell does not like you. They cannot stand you.
Right.
Hell has spread the lie that a traditional family, the father and the mother with the children, is not the only way to be nowadays. So if you're a traditional family, and then you're an outsider in this world. You're a rarity. You're
right.
Almost like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2021. An outsider. What used to be the norm, a mom, a dad, children, is now a rarity.
Right.
The other day, one of my sons said, man, Dad, he was saying something. He said, all my friends at school have divorced families. It used to be, when I was in school, maybe one or two kids you knew that were divorced. Now, if your kids go to school and they're together as a family, it's a rarity. And I'm not saying, if you've been through a divorce, I'm not here to condemn that.
Right.
No, that's not what I'm preaching at.
Right.
The Lord knows that situation, and He'll take care of that. But if you're for a traditional family, father, mother, married, and your kids are in church, oh, the devil, he cannot stand you.
Right.
He's after you tonight, church. Especially if you have kids. He's always after the seed. Remember I said a while ago, as soon as that curse was pronounced, what did he do immediately? The Bible says that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And what happened? One of them died. Amen? One of them was murdered. Then we fast forward a few hundred years, and Moses is born. But Moses was almost killed before he was born because the Egyptian pharaohs went out, and Pharaoh killed all the young boys. And if it wasn't for Moses' mother saving him, he would have been taken as well. All the way up to Jesus' birth, when King Herod had all the two-year-olds killed. Satan was after the seed. And he didn't stop right there, church.
Yeah.
He's always after our offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're young. And, you know, a lot, a meat animal, I can't even talk right, an animal like a lion will pick out a young, whatever it's chasing, quicker than it will an adult because it's weak. Weaker, right? And it's easier to get to. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come after our children. He hates families, especially Christian families.
Bless him.
Promise I don't have COVID.
I've got this summer cold I can't get rid of.
At least I pray I don't have COVID, because you all have it. No, I'm teasing. You guys are rough. Hell throws party after party each time a family breaks up. Amen? Why? Because hell knows that that's one step closer to breaking up the church.
Yeah.
You see, church, if we don't have families, if we don't have you guys out here, this church doesn't exist. Because we have families that come together and come and bring their kids together. And that's what makes up the church. The church is not this building. Even though we make this building beautiful and we dedicate it and it's a holy place and we make it as beautiful as it can in reverence of the Lord, this is not the church. Right. You and I are the church and our families are the church.
Exactly.
And hell doesn't like it. Hell doesn't like that. You see, hell doesn't have to work too hard on sinners because they're already in sin. And when you were in sin, so hell didn't have to work too hard on you because you were already there. Amen?
Right.
Just jerk your chain a little bit. But if you're not in sin, oh, he hates it. And he wants to come after you. And especially if you're a Christian family and you're serving the Lord and your kids are in church.
Yeah.
Hell doesn't like it very much. But families, especially Christians' family, pose deep threat to the kingdom of hell.
Yeah.
Again, because we're the church.
Yes,
and this
sir.
Throws a threat to the pits of hell. The devil knows that, and that's why he loves divorce. That's his one of his greatest weapons in the last 100 years. Then he loves to split, divide, and destroy. Let me say that again. He loves to split, divide, and destroy. And
yes,
any
sir.
Chance he gets a chance to do it, he will do it.
Yeah.
But listen to what God does. God loves to add, multiply, and restore. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's who we serve. So we go back to David and his men were on the verge of splitting because the enemy knew that if he could come in and take the family away, he could cause these men to become weak and he could defeat them. And these same men who were valiant warriors and would follow David anywhere, suddenly they wanted to kill him and they wanted to take him down. These mighty men were hurting and ready to place the blame on David. And again, David could have ran, he could have buckled under pressure, and most of us probably would have at this point.
Right.
And we wouldn't blame him for it. But
yes, sir.
He decided to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the key word in the scripture. It says, but. Instead, he chose to strengthen himself in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
See, church, he was at a weak moment. And we wouldn't have faulted for him. And we wouldn't have blamed him if he decided to throw in the towel right then and there. I mean, he slew Goliath. He was a great man at that point. And if he just said, okay, I've had enough, he would have still been a great man. But church, he remembered back to those days when he was a shepherd boy. He remembered back to those days when he killed Goliath. He remembered back to those psalms that I'm sure he'd already written at this point. You know, he wrote over 150 of them, so it took him, I'm sure he had a pretty good written up right now at this point. And he began to go back to them, and then something deep down inside him began to strengthen himself. And sometimes, church, we have to do that. We have to, when the enemy has pounded us so much, it got us to the point where we either fight or flight, we just have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
Yes,
our pastor can't help us. Our spouse can't help us. The evangelists can't help us on TV. We just have to reach down inside
and
let that spirit man come up inside of us and begin to let the Lord take over. That's what David did. He remembered the time that he stood up before Goliath and God brought the victory when he should have been slaughtered by the giant. He remembered the time that every time that he touched something, God had blessed him. Mm-hmm. And now here he was. And he strengthened himself. He remembered the past. Church, it's hard to stand our ground when the enemy hits us right square in the eyes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He may hit us from time to time on the side, and that's okay. Because we can take that. But have you ever been hit square in the eyes and been knocked loopy? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in third grade in Rogers at Northside. We was outside playing tag. And we was out in the field running back and forth. You remember those games? And I'm running from one side to the other side. And somebody was chasing me, and I was running this way. And a kid who was twice the size of me hit me square on right in the head. I mean, it was like a lightning bolt went off in my... I mean, it knocked me all the way back down, and it stunned me. I got up and thought I was okay. About 30 minutes later, I was only in third grade in the classroom. I remember seeing, like, stars. I started seeing green bars. And I thought I was going crazy. And then I went to the bathroom, started washing my eyes. I thought I was going blind. And then I don't remember much of the rest. But I had a concussion. I got a full concussion. But when you're hit square in the eyes, it can knock you for a loop. Amen? And that's what the devil likes to do.
Yes, sir.
Spiritually speaking, he likes to come after you and hit you square in the eyes and see what's going to happen. When he comes in like a flood, the Bible says that he'll lift up a spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him.
Yes,
amen?
Yes,
and that's
sir.
Exactly what the Lord will do. But church, it's time we stand. When you get hit square in the face like David did and his men, it's time we stand.
Yes,
it's time we don't run, but it's time we stand because it's no longer fun and games. Dads, it's time to fight. Moms, it's time to fight.
Yes,
Grandpa and grandmas, it's time to fight.
Yes,
because Satan's out for keeps. More families now are split more now than ever in the history of our civilization. I said that a while ago, but I want to bring home that point. Right now, there are more families split now than ever before, and Satan is laughing and having a good old day. But not for long.
Not for long.
We need to stand, church. Yes. We need to stand and use the weapons that our Lord has given us.
Amen.
Weapons that our grandpas and grandmas taught us, amen, and we saw them do. Those things still work, amen. Guess what? They still work. One of them's prayer. James 5:16 says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much.
Yes, sir.
It works. Prayer works, church. Fasting. Mark 9:29, he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing by prayer and fasting. And trust me, I may not look like it, but I don't like to fast. I like to eat. So when there's a corporate fast call, that's not my favorite time. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. You weren't honest with me a while ago. I'll be honest with you. I don't like fasting. I don't. I struggle with it, but I know how powerful it is, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a minute. But fasting's a struggle, but it works, church.
Yes, it does.
It works when you're serious about it. Fasting, this time cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting, reading the Word. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the Word, and hearers only, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Read the Word and doing the Word. Amen?
Yes.
Word Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's a weapon that we can use.
Yes.
Also binding the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus, Matthew 18:18 says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Church, you have the authority to bind things. You have the authority to bind the devil and whatever schemes that he's bringing on you and your family. You can say in the name of Jesus, I bind that.
Yes.
And the enemy will have to flee. Amen? Those are weapons. Those are weapons our grandpas and grandmas and their families used. And they worked. And I know pastors talked about times about the lady had to meet and prayed over all. And you know, and you have stories of all those things. Those worked. They're not going away. Just because we have modern technology that some people like me, like an idiot, can't work, doesn't mean that those old things work. They do.
Yes.
You might have to do a Jericho march around your house. You might have to anoint your post of your door.
Yeah.
The world says that's crazy, but church, that's real and that works and it's effective.
Yes, sir.
It might look crazy, but who cares? Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he sought the Lord's advice. Next thing you see, David is leading his men on a recovery mission.
Mm-hmm.
He headed straight for the enemy's camp, and he took back everything the enemy stole from him.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Once he went to the Lord, he strengthened himself in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And he went to the Lord and asked him, God, is it your will? And the Lord said, go get him. That's all David needed.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Go get him.
Go get him. And he took back everything back that the enemy stole. Church, it's time we head down to the enemy's camp.
Yes,
it
is.
It's time we take back our marriages. It's time we take back our sons and daughters.
Yes.
That are lost. We raised them in church. The Bible says you raise them in church. They grow older than not depart, but they sometimes, and when they turn 18, they have their own will. I know what it's like to be 18. I think mom and dad aren't very smart. My kids are at that stage where suddenly I become stupid, don't know very much. But then I remember when you get in your 20s, especially then when you get married, you start coming back.
Yeah.
But there's those of you here tonight that your children have been raised in church and they're still out there. It's time we go back and we get them back, amen? It's time we take back our moms and dads that maybe have left the faith, or even our grandkids. It's time we take back everything that the devil has taken, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not his. Give me 1 second, I need another drink real fast.
Thank you, Jesus.
Back. All things All of these things God has promised you, the devil has taken or derailed in your life, you can get them back. Amen? Dreams that have been shattered. All the things God promised you. You had a dream, and it got shattered into a million pieces. And the enemy's laughing and holding it down in his camp. And maybe he's mocking you. Church, you can go down there and get it back.
Yeah.
Amen? You just have to have a determined mind. You have to get to the place where David did and his men. He said, you know what? After he prayed to the Lord, he said, I'm going after it. Church, we need to go after it. It's time we go after our marriages. Yeah. It's time we quit letting Satan come in here in the church world and take our families and lead them off to the pits of hell.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the devil's no, he's not. I'm not here to give praise to the enemy by no means tonight. That's
right.
Not what this message is about. But this is a death fight back and to defeat the devil.
Uh-huh.
And the devil's wily. The Bible says that he's wily. And he's sly.
Yeah.
And he's a snake. And he knows exactly that the time is getting near the end. He knows where his place is. He's read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have read it, but he's read it. And he knows exactly where his future is
headed. Exactly.
So he's going to do everything he can. If he can come in and get your family and take them away, and he'll laugh at you the whole time. It's time to get back what the enemy stole. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your hope. Maybe your hope's down there in the enemy's camp. And he's dangling it before you. That hope that you used to have. It got you up in the morning and got you out of bed to face Monday morning, and you don't have that anymore. And the enemy's just down there laughing at you and having a good old time, showing it off. It's time to go down there and get that.
Yes.
What about the joy? What about that joy? The Bible says, joy of the Lord is my strength.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between being joy and happy. Joy is something that no matter what the situation, you can still have the joy of the Lord and still be happy. But maybe the enemy's taking that, and he's down there at his camp with his demons and just that laughing and having a good old time. What about your happiness? What about your peace? You know, in the last couple of years, a lot of people's peace has been taken from them through this pandemic and enemy and fear. And all this has been taken, and the enemy's taking it down to his camp, and he's just laughing, and he's throwing fear at us. And that peace that once we knew that passes all understanding, we begin to get scared and begin to wonder and worry. What about our healing? The enemy's maybe taking the healing that you sought for, and he's just laughing at you and dangling it. See, that's the way he plays. Remember, he's a street fighter.
Yeah.
He loves just to mock you.
Uh-huh.
The devil loves to sweep in just like the Amalekites, burn everything to the ground, kidnap what's most precious to you, and leave you standing there. But, old church, we serve a mighty God.
Yeah.
You didn't hear me very well. We serve a mighty God.
Yes, we do. Amen.
He's the one who defeated Satan. Amen? He defeated Satan. He defeated hell, death, and the grave.
Yes.
He's 3-for-3.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1,000 in batting terms in baseball.
Yeah.
All three stand defeated today. Hell is defeated. It may mock you. It may laugh at you. It may send things at you, but it's defeated.
It's defeated, yes.
Death
sir.
Is defeated. Yes. Grave is defeated.
Yes.
So church, it's time we saddle up and we head towards the enemy's camp. We may have to send some evil spirits back to the pits of hell where they came from.
Yes.
We may have to fight a few devils. But church, we can. The power of the Lord. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit. These last few days of the closing days of time are coming near us. And we believe that. Amen? With all of our heart. We see the signs. And we know it in our spirit. If you can't feel that in your spirit, you need to get in your prayer closet and begin to seek the Lord. Because if you can't feel that the end times are coming, that the time of the Lord's coming back soon, then you need to shake yourself. Because it's in our spirit. And I feel like it. We can't name the date nor the time, but we can see it. Amen? When the fig begins to blossom on the fig tree. Amen?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, you know that summer's coming.
Yeah.
And we can see it. But we can do all things through the name of Jesus. Once David had the Lord's okay to go, he pursued the Amalekites. He knew the victory was going to take place. Church, it's time we be the church.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Sir.
And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yes, sir.
We have that power and authority. The hell will not prevail against the church of the living God, no matter what he throws at us. It's time we fire up our prayer life. It's time we fire up reading the word of God.
Yes.
It's time we fire up fasting. It's time we come to the house of God when it's called for.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we fire up the engines to the church.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. It's time we pray and we move. Ask for a moving of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before.
Yes, sir.
And it's time we send a message to the enemy's camp. Get ready, Satan, because
we're coming
for what's ours. We're going to take back our marriages, our families, our finances, our workplace, entertainment, our churches. Folks, I believe we can recover it all. If you're a child of God, and if you're saved with the precious blood of the Lamb, welcome to an undefeated army.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
You're in an army that's never lost a battle. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior track record is perfection.
Yes, sir.
He has never once lost a single battle. You're in an army that's undefeated. Our leader is unstoppable.
Yes.
It's time we encourage ourselves in the Lord. And in closing tonight, and here's they're laughing at me because they put in parentheses closing. It's going to be a fat minute still. Preachers have like four or five closings, right? First closing, number one, 2 minute warning. I don't know about you, church, but I am sick and fed up with the enemy stealing from me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can stand with me, Brother Christian, come back. That'll help get the closing better. Most people will say 2020 was one of the worst years in their lives. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say for my family, 2021 has been the worst year, if not ever. 2020 was a breeze. I'm just going to be honest with you for the next couple minutes. I'm just going to share a testimony. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You can stand with me if you don't mind. And I don't stay here tonight to give place to the devil. I know I've talked a lot about him, but that's not, I have no place to go. I want to give place to him. I want to call him out for who he is. Amen. I'm here to call him out, not to give him praise, because he's under our feet and he's defeated. I stand here tonight not to brag on the devil or on myself. God gets all the glory because it wasn't for him tonight, church. I'm not sure I'd be here standing and preaching tonight. Because March, April, June of this year will forever go down in my mind as some of the worst months ever in my 44 years. I know I'm young. I look good. Thank you. Our family went through a zigzag. It's hard to keep yourself right when you're watching your family, your home, being burned right before you.
Yeah.
In your eyes.
Bless him.
Just like David, amen? That's a hard situation. It's hard to keep yourself right. The enemy's trying to steal what's most precious to you and split you apart. And to be honest, it almost happened. Again, I'm not standing up here to brag. Time to give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Yes,
I wanted to testify a couple weeks ago, but I just felt the Lord to tell me to wait until I preached again. Not to mention, I'm terrified of testifying. I can get up here and preach, but I told you I'm being honest with you. It's confession time. I struggle to testify. I'm going to work on that, with the Lord's help. But I can testify when I'm preaching. If it wasn't for the Lord moving on our behalf, I don't know what we'd have done in church. As hard as those months were, though, and it took a toll on my family, I never felt closer to the Lord in these 3 months. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not up here drama, making drama, but these last 3 months have been hell.
Mm.
Literally hell. In fact, I want to forget about it. I'm not up here pumping up drama. But I've been closer to the Lord through all of this. The Lord, it's just not even when I'm trying to pray or trying to get closer to him, he's gotten closer to me, it feels like.
Right.
I've seen him do more things in these last 3 months than I've seen in a long time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm crying because it's a grueling church. July 1st is a date that I'll remember for a long time. Because that's the day we had a breakthrough. That's the day when God showed up on the scene.
Yeah.
The night before was hell. Excuse my language, but that night was a church night. I didn't want to be here at church. But there's people in ER that stood in a gap for us that night. That next morning, I got up for work, and I didn't even know how I was going to go to work. But the Lord provided, and the Lord provided a miracle.
Thank you, Jesus.
He turned that day what was going to turn out to be a horrible day. By the end of the day, it was almost like things were back to normal. That's the God we serve.
Yes.
God went down to the enemy's camp, and
Amen.
He came back.
Yeah.
What he stole from us. We had a church praying for us, and I'm so thankful for our church. We had an ER group at that night. I believe just prayed, stood in that whole night for us. We got through that, church, a couple weeks ago. And sometime during Sunday night or early morning, Monday morning, I had a dream. It wasn't a pizza dream. I did have pizza that night, but it wasn't one of those dreams. But you know how dreams are. Dreams can sometimes go in and out. I had this dream that I was somewhere. It was almost like I was in New York City, you know, where they have the big sidewalks and people are coming back and forth, and real busy. And I was going the sidewalk, and it was like a stop sign or something like that. And these dogs were coming towards me. People were carrying these dogs. And this one dog in particular was coming after me. I mean, it was just trying to get me. I was like, what is going on? And then you know how dreams can kind of go play in and go back to something else. And then I came back to another scene where it was almost the same thing, but this dog was even more vicious. And it came after me, and it looked me square in the eyes. And it was the most demonic thing I'd ever seen in my life. A dog, and it scared me. And then I faded in and out of the dream. I came back one more time, and I was in a stall, like I was changing my clothes or something, like I was swimming, or I don't know what it was, but it was in like a bathroom stall. And as I opened the door, this puppet-like thing, I mean, it was creepy. Opened the door, like it was trying to expose me, and just sit there and was laughing and mocking at me, and I was trying to speak, and it wouldn't let me do anything. And I woke up, and I was telling Christina a little bit about it, and I told her, you know what, I feel like that was the enemy trying to scare me.
Uh-huh.
I was attacked from the enemy. Tuesday, the next day, we got another bombshell. Hit us hard. Church, sometimes you take blow after blow after blow, and it gets you to the point where you're with where David was, especially when it's your own kids. Do something to me. I can handle it. Do something for a kid. I don't know what to do. I go crazy.
Yeah.
I know I should go to the Lord, but my human self, my dad's self, I don't know what to do. And this was a big one. What do you do when it's your child? It's a different story. And the enemy came to have a heyday. Church, I'm here to stand before you right now. But I'm going back to the enemy's camp. I'm going to take back everything he stole. I've got some of it back, and we're going to reclaim all of it. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, and the enemy's stolen from you, it's time to take back what he stole from you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's time to take back what he stole from you. There was a time during this whole thing, I'm almost through this testimony, there was a time when we thought we were going to have a breakthrough at one point. And I felt the Lord to tell me to go home and get my three younger kids. They were home at the time. And they looked at me pretty funny, but we took and we anointed every door in the house.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, we're going to do a Jericho watch around the house. We're going to walk around this house and seven times. And we began to do that. And we had a pretty good breakthrough. But then we had another hit. Then we came back in a couple weeks later. It was on Wednesday night. I told Christine, for some reason, I'm here late, but I don't like Wednesday nights. But they're getting better. They're getting better. And on this Wednesday night, came home, and we were in bed, and I got up, and a certain situation happened, and I seen a flashlight outside, so I went to see what it was. There was a broken. And he was walking around the house. He was quoting scriptures. He walked around the house for 30 minutes until he got blistered to his feet. Because it works, church. It
Thank
works.
You, Jesus. Yes.
It works. If you're here tonight, if you bow your heads with me, you're here tonight, and the enemy's taken from you, and he's stolen from you. Maybe he's hit you storm after storm. Who knows what it is? If you're here tonight, maybe you've got a child that's lost. Maybe you've got financial situation. Maybe you've got those things that I listed, joy and happiness is down at the enemy's camp. Tonight's the night you can get it back. Tonight's the night that you can declare to the enemy, I want back what's mine.